The UGA Hodson Singers and the Atlanta Baroque Orchestra present The Passion According to St. John by Johann Sebastian Bach, Thursday, March 21st at 7:30 p.m. at Hodson Concert Hall. Joining me in the studio to talk about this performance, please welcome John D. Boyd, UGA Foundation Professor of Choral Music and Director of Choral Activities, Dr. Daniel Barra. Dr. Barra, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So can I get you to give us a little background on The Passion According to St. John?
Sure. This is a work written in Bach's first year as the cantor in Leipzig at the Thomaskirche. It's a work that's intended to be performed on Good Friday in the Lutheran Church. It's a two-hour piece of music that features an orchestra, choir, and vocal soloists. It's as close to opera as we get from Johann Sebastian Bach. It's a dramatic work that takes the chapters in the Gospel of St. John that are about Christ's arrest and trial and crucifixion directly from the gospel and dramatizes that.
Mm-hmm.
And the unique thing about Bach's setting of those chapters, those words from the Gospel of St. John, is he stops the story, he stops the action all the time, mm-hmm. and inserts chorale tunes from the time, mm-hmm. and arias in the time that help us to better sort of cope with and grasp and deal with the drama that has been presented by the story.
That's an awful lot to cope with.
It is a lot to cope with. And what Bach chooses to do, and Bach himself is thinking of himself as a musical theologian at the time. Mm-hmm. This piece of work would have been presented on Good Friday in his church, and it would have surrounded a spoken sermon. Mm-hmm. And Bach himself thought of himself as a theologian in the way that he wrote this piece and the way that he depicted this story.
Mm-hmm.
And in the texts that he chose and the chorales that he chose to insert into the story so that the congregation could better come to grips with our response to the story.
Right, right. As if memory serves, The Passion According to St. John is a really complex and challenging piece of music. What kind of special challenges are there in performing this, and can you talk about how the Atlanta Baroque Orchestra assists in that regard?
Sure. You might discover that the music of Bach and other Baroque composers is not as frequently performed by professional orchestras and choirs as more recent works. And it's because music of the Baroque is stylistically, I would say, challenging for the singer and for the instrumentalist. Collaborating with the Atlanta Baroque Orchestra is a really unique and wonderful opportunity for us because they are hiring a roster of players that play this body of music all the time, and they are well-versed in the style of Bach. They even play on instruments that are built to emulate the instruments that Bach would have used. So that means violins that have gut strings instead of steel strings, mm-hmm. and they're using shorter bows, and the woodwind instruments are built differently so that we get a sound that is more like the sound that Bach would have known.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a specialized body of repertoire nowadays, and there's lots of musicological scholarship that have gone into rediscovering how this music was originally intended to be performed and how it might have sounded. So to be collaborating with these instrumentalists on this very challenging work is a real shot in the arm for our singers and mm-hmm. for me to be able to really recapture the original style of this music.
That seems like an amazing opportunity to be able to come and hear what Bach might have heard, and just to even consider how different it might be relative to the modern instruments that we hear more often today. What characteristics do you think are most unique about a period instrument versus a modern instrument?
Yeah, it's not just the sound of the instruments, which tends to be softer and sweeter than the modern instrument. So they're not intended to project with the same resonance and energy that the modern instrument has grown into.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also about the style of and approach to playing those instruments. So nowadays in a typical symphony orchestra, there's this predominance of vibrato on every note, which helps to give this lushness and body to the tone. We now know that approach to playing with vibrato on every note is a 20th century phenomenon. And so what we get is a cleaner, sort of leaner sound from mm-hmm. the instrumentalists. They're more preoccupied with grouping notes and creating shapes amongst notes rather than wringing the resonance out of every single note in a phrase, if there's a way to simplify it in that kind of I guess that's an oversimplification, but the tone from the singers and from the orchestra is leaner and purer.
Now, a Baroque orchestra is also smaller than a typical symphony orchestra that we might go see today as well.
That's right.
What is the size difference?
So we'll be dealing with 20 instrumentalists. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that the Baroque orchestra always has is what's called a continuo group, which is basically your cellos and basses and bassoon paired with a keyboard instrument. In our case, we'll be using both harpsichord and organ. It serves as something of the rhythm section for a Baroque orchestra, and we're really delighted to be able to use a new portative organ that's been donated to the School of Music. Will be featured for the first time on this concert. So this is a blowout of an event for us.
You know, the moment you mentioned organ, my eyebrows raised because I thought about, I've been in that room many times, and I'm envisioning the organ. This is something you said it was donated to the School of Music?
It has. Anonymously, I can't share a donor's name.
That's all
but
right.
Yeah. And it's not a large pipe organ that you would see on the back wall. This is an organ the size of a small desk, I would say. Mm-hmm. And it's portable, and it's meant to be nestled within the orchestra. Mm-hmm. And again, it provides a harmonic a foundation for the continuo group.
And it, too, is a period instrument?
It is, yes. And so also to mention is... The pitch at which we'll be performing is not even the modern A440 that a symphony orchestra plays. We'll be playing at A415, which is what we believe Bach would have performed.
Which is lower pitch.
Lower pitch. So it's basically a half step lower.
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. And can you talk about the size of the ensemble, the vocal ensemble, the Hodgson Singers?
Yeah,
how many singers do you have?
We'll have 40 singers singing this piece.
Okay.
And we've been working on it since the semester began in January. And this music presents, you know, such opportunities dramatically and also challenges for the singer. Mm-hmm. I would say that a part of a typical curriculum for a young singer in college, it doesn't always include Bach.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this has been a really eye-opening and wonderful experience for our choir to be able to sort of wrestle with this polyphony and the drama associated with these choruses that are in this piece.
Is it sung in English?
It will be sung in German.
In German, okay.
And we'll have projected translations at the performance.
Very good. The thought just occurred to me because it's kind of an emotional piece.
It is.
And if you're sitting in the audience and you're not following along with what's being sung, you might not pick up on that. So
yeah, I think
it's good that you have the super titles.
I think the super titles will help. I think that the drama associated with the story, and we know this story at least vaguely. I think I really believe that based on the energy and the music itself that's being shared and that Bach wrote, you'll be on the edge of your seat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it sounds like a very special thing. What has been your favorite part of preparing for this so far?
I think honestly, it's been introducing the choir to this body of repertoire and to singing Bach. I think not enough collegiate programs tackle Bach's choral music.
Mm-hmm.
It provides vocal and intellectual challenges, but once you start to sort of experience it and get it in your body, it is so rewarding and so compelling. And I think the singers are just really eager now to share what they've been doing. And so to see the light bulbs come on in the choir, it's been rewarding.
Right, right. Now, last but not least, in fact, maybe not last, but the performance is Thursday, March 21st at 7:30 p.m. What is there something special about that date, though? Would you like to tell our listeners about that?
Sure, yeah. Bach's birthday is cited both as March 21st and March 31st. He himself thought of it as being on March 21st when he wrote it, but the calendar... changed. I guess the Roman calendar was changed throughout Europe at different times in different regions. And so his birthday is March 21st, according to the old Julian calendar. Now musicologists cite him as being on March 31st. You have to talk to different people according to decide when his birthday really is.
But we got the year right.
Yeah, that's right. Yes.
1685. Got it. Very good. So it's sort of a birthday celebration, maybe
it is.
Not.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm treating it that way.
And what have I not asked you about this performance? We've covered a lot of ground. Is there anything that I've overlooked that you'd like to mention?
Yeah, I would like to share that the evangelist role, which is basically the storyteller, the person using the Gospel of St. John's narrative words, the person who sings that role, that role will be sung by Dr. Derek Chester. He is a famous now oratorio singer and has spent a large part of his career singing this role and other Baroque roles. He is a Georgia graduate and teaches now at one of the state universities in Colorado. He's coming home to come sing this role with our choir. I'm really delighted by that circumstance. And he'll be joined by other professional singers singing the arias in this work, many of whom are specialists in the music of Bach.
Dr. Daniel Barra, the John D. Boyd UGA Foundation Professor of Choral Music and Director of Choral Activities, thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Once again, the performance is The Passion According to St. John by Johann Sebastian Bach, Thursday, March 21st at 7:30 p.m. at Hodgson Hall. The performance features the UGA Hodgson Singers along with the Atlanta Baroque Orchestra. For tickets or more information, 706-542-4400. To hear the full discussion with Dr. Barra, check out our Spotlight interviews on our website at wuga.org. For WUGA, I'm Michael Carden.